Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Take this next guest, our next guest, the first of the day. Man, he was really good. He was really good, but a unique career because he got hurt. Kimo von Ohlhoff, and remember that game?
The
Steelers, they were going to win that. They were awesome that year. And then he wound up on the Raiders, and we're like, is it over? Then he goes to the Cardinals, and boom, he's good again. Carson Palmer, over 46,000 yards and almost 300 touchdowns, the former number one pick back in 2003, is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Carson, first of all, welcome to the show. Congrats on a great career, man. Happy retirement.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
No doubt.
Was that a hard decision to make for you to finally hang it up after 14 years, Carson?
No, it really wasn't. I knew.
Yeah.
I knew. You know, there's a point where, and you know, you just, the hits really start to hurt.
Yeah. You can't recover from them.
They add up. There's kind of like a badge of honor when you're 22, 23, 24 years old and you stand in the pocket and you deliver a pass and just get absolutely smoked. You know, it doesn't hurt as much. You recover quick. But once you get to 34, 35, and then I finished at 37. They just start to hurt, and you just don't like them anymore. And they're no longer a badge of honor. They're just something that you're going to maybe have to deal with later on down the road when you're older. So I knew it was time. I was ready, and it was time for me to move on.
You know what I wanted to ask you? I think this is a really great entrance into the conversation about the young quarterbacks now. Great entrance points, I should say. The way you were scrutinized, and you know, off the top of my head, I mean, to go back 15 years and try to vividly recollect what it was like in real time, it's hard to do that. So you can help us out with this. The way you were viewed and the way you were scrutinized before the draft, compared to the four or five top prospects now, I know it's a different level of picking these young players apart. But can you compare and contrast the difference back in 2003 compared to now?
You know, I don't know that there's a huge difference for me necessarily, because I kind of feel like now that I'm watching all these things unfold, I was more on the Sam Darnold side, where there's just not a whole lot of stuff that he's done, whether that's tweets or things he's gotten in trouble for. I didn't have much of that stuff. There wasn't something to harp on or really, really try to dig up so much of. With Baker and Josh Rosen, there's so much to dig up on. And it's because there's a lot of guys that don't make it and don't have successful careers because they just don't have things under control off the field.
Yeah.
And I think that's how these guys are being viewed, as guys that can't control themselves, whether it be on Twitter or just control themselves off the field away from football. Because when you get drafted with the first, second, third, fourth, fifth pick, you are the future of the franchise. You are the face of a billion-dollar company. So much goes into that, and there's so many bad things that can happen, so many poor decisions these guys make off the field that can have such a negative impact on those organizations. So, I mean, I get it. I know why they dig so deep. I know why they look for so many little things, and then maybe they overhype some of them, but there's a lot of talk, there's a lot of discussion in those war rooms, because you're sitting in a war room. You can be out of that war room in 3 or 4 years if you pick the wrong player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you're looking for a new job. Every coach in there is looking for a new job. The GM's looking. The only person that gets to stick around is the owner. So, I mean, there's a reason players are so harshly scrutinized, because there's so many jobs that are hanging in balance just off of one player.
It's a crazy dynamic, and I think you nailed it. That's Carson Palmer with us, of course, 3-time Pro Bowler. Just retired, hanging him up, 37 years old, 14 years in the NFL, and a lot of big numbers. Yep. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Carson, I didn't realize this until BT and I were looking through your stats. You completely sat out your rookie season. You didn't play at all. And I wonder now, because, as you know, we push these kids to play. Like, get out there now. Go, you got to play now. You got to learn it quickly. I'm going to throw the whole playbook at you. How valuable was it for you to sit and not have the pressure of putting the entire franchise, because usually you're going to bad teams, on your back and making them better?
Well, I think more than just the pressure, it's just what was best for the team at that time. The team I sat out and watched went at 8-8 and was almost made the playoffs. A couple of weird things happened at the end of the year, but there was a chance we could make the playoffs with John Kitten as a quarterback, and the organization knew that. And I wasn't ready to make the playoffs my rookie year. I had so much to learn, and I just needed a year. I needed to develop, but more importantly, I had the opportunity to sit back and watch John Kitna be the starter, who is the epitome of all starters. The way he prepared, the way he practiced, the way he led in the locker room, on the practice field, in the weight room, those are just, I just sat back and watched and took notes and learned, and he nurtured me. You know, he knew, okay, they took this kid number one. He's going to play at some point, so I can either help him out or I can give him nothing. Well, he gave me everything, and there were things I was doing in year 15 preparation-wise or studying-wise or an example I saw him deal with in a locker room that needed to be handled. There were things I, throughout my 15-year career, that I looked back and remembered seeing John do it a certain way, and so I did it that way because that's the way I saw it. And, the experience I had of sitting behind him was invaluable, and you just don't see that anymore. There's a rookie wage scale, and I think I signed a 6 or 7 year contract my first year. So
wow.
Sitting 1 year with that investment of having me sit on the sidelines and watch, you know, you're going to get 6 or 7 years out of me.
Yeah.
Now these guys with the rookie wage scale, it's a 4 or 5 year deal. So
yep.
That 1 year can be 25% of that player's time with your organization. It's just not worth it when you use that first, second, or third pick on a guy and only get 75% him on the field 75% of the time there. So it's just, you just don't see that as much anymore. But I think it was really valuable for me as my, you know, looking back on my career.
Of course, I want to ask you a little bit about Hugh Jackson. The mm-hmm. Browns have the first overall pick in the fourth, and now you were there. I mean, Hugh was there when they basically brought you off the couch. I mean, I think I saw a picture of you having a beer at a USC game. The next thing I know, you're playing for the Raiders. You're starting. It was absolutely incredible. I was actually at that game. It was crazy. And so you know him from the Raiders. And I believe he was a receivers coach early at one point when you were with the Bengals. You know his personality. You know what he looks for. It seems like Darnold would work with anybody, but can you see a Mayfield if that's the call, or Josh Allen? Would they work with Hugh Jackson and his personality? What's the best fit for Hugh?
Well, I think anybody can work with Hugh. I think Hugh's relatable to any age, to any demographic, to smart players, to dumb players that you really have to nurture. Hugh's phenomenal. Hugh's one of the few coordinators that everything just aligns, whether it be his screen, his play-action game. His play-action game every week will mimic his run game. So when you're going through your play-action footwork and setting up play-action pass, he's already run that run out of the same formation, out of the same motion, same personnel group, so that the run and the pass always looks the same. And his play-action stuff is phenomenal. He takes
wow.
shots. He's not trying to get down, you know, trying to make a 19-play, 90-yard drive. He's trying to score on every play sometimes. And that, you know, that aggressiveness, it's what it takes to win in today's NFL. Defenses are just too good to do a 12-play drive consistently and go down and score. You got to make big plays, big chunks, make somebody miss, and you got to score, you know, one or two 30- or 40-yard touchdown plays in order to win each week. So, I love his play-action game. His screen game is awesome. It's always changing. He's screening to receivers. He's screening to tight ends, to running backs, to outside receivers, to inside receivers. I love Hugh. I think he's phenomenal. And I think whatever quarterback he ends up drafting, because I assume they're going to draft at least one.
Yeah.
I think anybody fits his system.
Boy, that's a great
adapt his system to that player.
That was really an awesome look into Hugh Jack. That's really good. Carson
yeah.
Palmer with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Carson, we only have about a minute here, but I want you to tell me about the FedEx Air and Ground NFL Awards program. It's going into 16th season. I can't believe it's been that long, but you're helping announce the $10,000 donation on behalf of to the USO on behalf of this draft class. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so FedEx is donating $10,000 on behalf of these kids that are coming into this draft right now, because the Saquon Barkley's of the world, the Sam Darnolds, there's some potential future FedEx Air and Ground Award winners.
True.
Like I was in 2015 and then 2005. And FedEx is donating $10,000 this weekend during the draft. And that money goes to the USO, which the USO is a phenomenal organization. It's an organization that helps our retired men and service women transition into the next phase of their life. So every year there's 200,000 retirees of our military services, and they're looking for support their family. They're looking for a new job. They're looking to really transition into a new phase of their life. And the USO has pathfinders that help them transition and ease that and smooth that transition so that they can move on and continue to be successful in another career.
Well, listen, awesome. we that is tremendous. We have to run. I know you got to peel out as well. Long respected, long admired, a terrific career, a smart guy, great perspective. Thanks for hopping on, Carson. We'll talk down the road, okay?
Absolutely. I love you. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate you.
There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.